Well, we're going to continue in the Gospel of Mark today, and I know it's hot. I know that sun is beating down, and you're all getting sunburned, so you're going to remember this every time you feel that burn. But I'm going to fall off. Okay, I don't want to fall off the back. All right. But we're wrapping up. School is almost out, or is out, I think, for most people. And many of the graduates have already had their graduations. And we are going to recognize our graduates here on June 7th. So we are appreciative of all those, all the hard work of the kindergartners, the eighth graders, the high schoolers, the college students. And I know it's been an odd school year. It's been difficult for many of you. A lot of us are kind of Zoomed out and tired of Zoom meetings. But you have worked hard, and you deserve to be recognized. And when you get down to the end of the course, it's the end of the school year, you have final exams. And oftentimes, as those exams approach, you start to cram, don't you? You try to learn as much as you can, as fast as you can, before you have to take the last test. And so you're cramming as much into your brains as you can get there before the test comes. And when we come to Mark chapter 9, in these latter verses, we find that the disciples are in a cram session. Jesus is trying to cram as much as he can into them before it's time for him to depart, to ascend, as Joe just read about there from Acts chapter 1. And so you get this sense that it's down to the wire with Jesus and these disciples, and they have a lot to learn. And so I'm going to start by reading from Mark chapter 9, beginning in verse 38. It says, John said to him, that is to Jesus, "Teacher, we saw someone casting out demons in your name, and we tried to stop him because he was not following us." But Jesus said, "Don't stop him, for no one who does a mighty work in my name will be able soon afterward to speak evil of me. For the one who is not against us is for us. For truly I say to you, whoever gives you a cup of water to drink because you belong to Christ will by no means lose his reward. Whoever causes one of these little ones who believes in me to sin, it would be better for him if a great millstone were hung around his neck and he were thrown into the sea. And if your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. It's better for you to enter life crippled than with two hands to go to hell, to the unquenchable fire. And if your foot causes you to sin, cut it off. It's better for you to enter life lame than with two feet to be thrown into hell. And if your eye causes you to sin, tear it out. It's better for you to enter the kingdom of God with one eye than with two eyes to be thrown into hell, where their worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. For everyone will be salted with fire. Salt is good, but if the salt has lost its saltiness, how will you make it salty again? Have salt in yourselves and be at peace with one another." Gracious Lord, I pray that these words will be clear to our hearts today as we study them and as we apply them. Speak to us by your Spirit, we ask. Teach us what we need to receive. In Jesus' name, amen. I don't think the disciples are ready yet. Jesus spent 3 years intensely training them, and they have had a front row seat in every major event of his ministry. They have the world's best teacher that has ever lived, and they're struggling. The responsibility is soon going to be upon them to lead, and yet there's a lot they need to learn. Now, I spent a few hours this past week at UTMC, and I was there with my daughter, May. And some of you might recall what happened last Sunday in the middle of the sermon as she pitched forward off the one of the benches here, the picnic table, and smashed her face into the parking lot. So we had to get one of her teeth repaired. And as we were there at UTMC, there was a very nice resident learning to be a dentist who did all the work for her. And obviously still in that training process, but did a great job. And I'm so thankful for the work that was done in putting her, getting her tooth repaired. And there was a supervising doctor who would check in every so often just to make sure he was doing things correctly. And he'd ask a few questions and he answered them all correctly. So we figured everything was done right. So he's ready to be a dentist. He's ready to do the job. But I'm not sure about these disciples. Are they ready to do what Jesus needs for them to do? Can he trust them? And the thing that Jesus sees in them is that he's worried. He's starting to see that they're doing the very worst thing they could possibly do. The thing that drives Jesus absolutely crazy. They are starting to act like Pharisees. The disciples are starting to act like Pharisees. The Pharisees were the religious leaders that they were giving Jesus so much trouble. And part of the reason they gave Jesus so much trouble is because they felt that Jesus was kind of edging in on their territory. They were the religious leaders, not Jesus. They were the ones who were supposed to tell people how to live, not Jesus. And they didn't even like Jesus healing people on the Sabbath because they thought that he was stepping on their territory. They were blinded by their pride. And now the disciples are starting to do the same thing. Remember last week, they were arguing about who would be the greatest, a sure sign of trouble. And Jesus had to set them straight. And now here, John, the best of all the apostles, the beloved disciple, is now saying, Jesus, we saw somebody else casting out a demon in your name, and we knew that couldn't be right. So we stopped him. And he thinks Jesus is going to be happy with that. But Jesus says, no. He who is not against us is for us. They've got this all mixed up. Jesus says, if somebody gives you a cup of cold water to drink because you belong to me, they are not going to lose their reward. So if someone's casting out a demon, celebrate the victory. If someone's sharing a cup of cold water in my name, thank them, reward them. Don't hinder their work. It kind of reminds me there's a lot of different kinds of ministries today, a lot of different churches, a lot of varieties of how we do things, different styles, different politics, different focus, different emphasis. And some I find more appealing than others. Some I agree with in principle more than others. Some I think are closer to the truth than others. But Jesus wants us to be slow about rushing into judgment with those who do things differently than us. And his emphasis is summed up in verse 50 there, where he says, be at peace with one another, because the one who is not against us is for us. We can call this big tent Christianity. There certainly needs to be accountability, and iron sharpens iron. But Jesus wants us to be charitable. He wants us to pray, Lord, how can we find ways to work with those who aren't against us? How can we celebrate the good that others are doing in your name? And so in this cram session, the disciples have got to get this figured out, and they need to figure it out fast. Jesus knows if they don't, the church will not get off the ground. But then he jumps to the second lesson of this cram session in verses 42 to 49. You remember me reading it there. Three times he makes the same emphasis. And he's speaking very severely. He says, anyone who causes one of these little ones who believes in me to sin, be better for him to have a millstone hung around his neck and to be thrown into the sea. Then he says, if your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. If your foot causes you to sin, cut it off. If your eye causes you to sin, gouge it out, because it's better to lose a part of your body than to go to hell where the worm does not die. If the first lesson was about peace, the second lesson is about a sword. If the first lesson was about grace, the second lesson is about action. If the first lesson is about not judging those outside, this second lesson is about judging ourselves and dealing with the sin that is within our hearts. It's kind of like what Jesus talked about in the Sermon on the Mount when he said, you know, don't worry about the speck of dust in the other person's eye when you've got a log in your own. And he's very serious about this. He's serious because he repeats it three times. When you're cramming for a test, don't you do that? You repeat the information over and over and over again to make sure you get it. He does that here. And then he talks about cutting off hands and feet and tearing out eyes. Now, he's not literally telling people to get out a knife and do this, but he's trying to make sure we get the point. And third, this threat of hell in each of these warnings. It's literally, he's saying this place, Gehenna. Gehenna was the trash heap outside Jerusalem. It's the place where it was always smoldering with fire and stinking. And I don't know why they named a suburb of Columbus Gehenna, but that's where it comes from. It's crunch time. Jesus can't waste any words. His disciples need to get this. And he's saying to them, lighten up on others, but don't lighten up on yourselves. Your tongue's getting you into trouble. So what conversations need to be cut off? The internet's leading you down paths of lust. So what kind of filter or accountability do you need? Your job is feeding your greed. So when are you going to quit it and find something else to do? Time is short. Jesus won't beat around the bush. He says to his disciples, there's a path that leads to the kingdom of God and there's a path that leads to hell. Jesus pleads with us to resist the path to hell with every bit of strength we can muster. But too often we only pause for a moment, we shrug our shoulders, and we move on and continue down that path to destruction. C.S. Lewis said, indeed, the safest road to hell is the gradual one, the gentle slope, soft underfoot, without sudden turnings, without milestones, without signposts. Jesus came to set us free from this hell. And by his grace, we are forgiven and we are made new. And it's the greatest gift ever given. And it's free to all who receive and trust in him. But don't think for a second that this means we should ever give up the fight. Jesus wants us to fight the sin in us with everything we've got. And with Jesus on our side, we've got what it takes. And that's what he wants his disciples to remember as they prepare for this exam. Heavenly Father, help us each as we continue into this day and through this week and think about this summer that is ahead of us. Lord, we face tests each day. And help us to remember to be generous to others, but to be very vigilant with ourselves, to embrace others who are not against us, but Lord, to root out the sin that is within us. Thank you for giving us the strength that we need to do that. Help us to rely on your grace. In Jesus' name, amen.